Atkins here, along with Tyler Anderson. And it's awesome to be with you this morning on such a special day for Mother's Day. And as Paul had all the moms stand, it was just fun to see and honor all our moms here today on this special day that we celebrate in our nation as Mother's Day. I'm going to share some thoughts about moms, of course. I have zero experience as a mom. I have some experience as a dad, but I don't have any experience as a mom, of course. But I've observed and seen some wonderful examples. My mom, Dorothy Arvidson, is my mother. She's just fabulous. She's in Grand Forks in assisted living now today, so she's unable to be here today. But she is just wonderful. She was a godly mother. She taught us as kids to have devotion time. Got up each morning before school for devotions as a family, and just she's just a great godly example. And nurturing and loving, just so many examples I could share about my mom. It's just I could do a whole 20-minute message just on my mom. And I've observed my wife, Monica, as a terrific mother. My daughter, Savannah, my daughter-in-law, Alicia, just so many. You moms in that room, some I don't know as well as others, but I've observed Becky as a mother, Becky Anderson, and been over to Haley and Paul's home. And just to watch Haley in her own environment with her kids, and just to see that special, tender, loving, and all the things she does with those kids, just it's very special. So as any good, I'm not saying I'm good, but as any speaker with probably wisdom would start out just with a bang, start out the whole message with a bang. So I'm going to do that now by having Haley Letvin come up here. And I gave Haley four questions that I asked her if she would just ponder on them, pray over them, and just share with us what God has shown her, and just openly, she's going to share what it's like to be a mom, and I just can't wait to hear from her. So, Haley, before you speak, my wife, Monica, wanted to come up here in front of all of you and talk today, and for those of you, Paul's laughing, for those of you who don't know my wife, she would rather have a root canal than come up and speak to people. So thank you, Haley, for taking a few minutes this morning.
One-handed with the baby. All right. Okay, so disclaimer, I'm still learning every day. The Lord has just really blessed us with just learning every day what it means to be just a God-fearing mom. So this is what I have learned so far. So the first question was, what has been the biggest challenge you have faced being a mom? And I think by far, for me, that would be worry. I like to worry about my boys' safety, their health, development, character, knowledge, exposure to media. The list just goes on and on. I also worry that I'm not doing enough as a mom, such as not enough structure, discipline, love, grace, activities. That list goes on and on too. But I still struggle with this, but I've just been learning just to give all my worries to Jesus and trust him with my boys. And one lesson I learned a while ago is just that they belong to him anyway, and they are gifts from him to us, and that helps me just to give it to him. So, all right, well, the second question is, what is the biggest surprise or the most eye-opening experience of being a mom? And my boys have done several things that have really surprised me. I've been surprised, when James was born and he had a tumor on his shoulder, and other things that they've done that have been funny or alarming. But actually, the biggest surprise has been myself. Because before kids, I think I kind of thought I had arrived. I thought I was patient, sacrificial, even tempered. However, God showed me I had room to grow in all those areas once I had kids. I have shocked myself at how easily I can become impatient, selfish, or even angry with my boys. So this really grieves me, and it has sent me to my knees in prayer, just asking the Lord for his strength and guidance to make me a better mother. And what better leader can we have than the Lord in those areas? I can't do it without him, and I pray for his strength and guidance every single day to be a mom, because I need it. So Then the third question is, what is the greatest reward you have received being a mom? This one, it is by far when Paul and my hard work pays off and when we see fruit from our labor. So let me explain. We sow seeds of truth to our boys all day long. We read the Bible. We instruct them just how to live godly lives. Some seeds are sown 20 times before they take root, over and over again. So and one example is lately I've been, if I'm upstairs and my two older boys are in the basement, I'll hear Josiah say, "I'm sorry, James, will you please forgive me?" And then there's silence and I hear Josiah say, "You're supposed to say, I forgive you." So, and earlier this week, I just had a super sweet moment with Josiah. He kind of looked upset. So I was like, "What's going on, buddy? You know, are you okay?" And he just told me how he was, he just said, "You know, I'm just really sad about all the times I've lied and I didn't get in trouble for it." So he felt conviction and he just said, "My heart is full of sin. I just want to be a good guy someday." So it was so sweet. And that just, it just opened the door to me just sharing how, "You know what, buddy, when you become a Christian, you're going to have Jesus in your heart and he's going to help you be a good guy and he's going to help you not sin." And I just was able to share with him how mama and dada still struggle with sin sometimes. We have Jesus in our heart and he changes us every day when we rely on him. So it was just a great opportunity just to share the gospel with him. And I love those times. So I was overjoyed that he was sad about his sin because it opened that door for me. And yeah, so that was very good. Now the last question was, what advice would you give to other moms? And that too, by far, it's to look to the Bible and trusted Christian moms for advice. That's really helped me. There are countless resources out there for parents, probably thousands of parenting books. However, over and over again, we go back to the best parenting book of all, which is the Bible. And especially in Proverbs, we read that every day. And it's amazing how many character based verses there are in Proverbs. In fact, we've memorized probably close to 100 verses now, and several of them are from Proverbs, just because that gives the godly character that we want to be in our boys. So, and then after the word, I also turn to other Christian mothers for advice. And these are women who I know are also reading the word, and I can learn from their studies and mistakes and successes they've had with their own kids. So that's what I have to share.
Awesome. Can we clap? That was fantastic. Wow. I could close in prayer right now and we'd go home. That was terrific. Thank you, Haley, for sharing. Let's pray one more time. Heavenly Father, God, thank you again for a special day that we celebrate moms. It's so humbling, incredibly humbling to know that every one of us, every single one of us here in this room, we're here today because of mom. And God, I thank you for this time we can have. And please let us hear from you right now, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So mom, next slide, please, Lydia. There's a picture of my mom. So yeah, I just knew this would happen. So I realized I didn't have many pictures of my mom, Dorothy, on my phone. So I'm going to have to get some more on there, but there you have it. So Mac, you made the slideshow. What did you chime in there, Savannah? Oh, the favorite kid. Yeah. So I'm sure I'm going to hear about this again later, but let's focus on my mom here for just a second here. So have you ever heard your mom, some of the momisms, or a mom maybe say, "I'm going to count to three." Or maybe mom said, "Just take one more bite." Or maybe mom would say, "Your face is going to freeze like that." Or maybe mama would say, "Clean up your room. It looks like a tornado hit it." Or maybe mom would say, "Because I said so, that's why." And the all-time favorite I have of mom's sayings when I grew up, "You just wait until your father gets home." So if you ever heard that, if you've never heard that, bless your heart, because you got it made, because Those were not good times when I heard that phrase. So lots of fond memories of my mother. She was just, when you think of mom, just we'll do this together now. Just one word, a one word description of your mom. Just one word, just yell it out. One word. Selfless, strong, forgiving, patient, faithful. We could go on and on. There's so many neat one-word descriptions of our mom, aren't there? So if you think of that one word, let's try this little exercise. What would be one word that would come to mind if a mom, this, if this happens to a mom, what's one word that might come to mind? If her grade school child gets picked on at school and gets beat up at school, if a mom hears that her daughter's boyfriend has hurt her in some way, or a mother hears of her son was in business with someone and that business partner took him for every dime that he had. What might be one word that would come to mind when you think of mom? Fearsome? Bingo. That was you, Dan? Next slide, please. Fearsome. So a mother bear in the animal kingdom is very protective of their baby cubs, extremely ferocious and protective of those baby cubs. So moms can have that feeling. We all can have that feeling when something doesn't go the greatest and the cubs are being picked on or something is not going right with you at work or at school. So that's some, next slide please, Lydia. So passion. Moms, I put the word passion on that. Moms have some passion when things are upset in the apple cart with the baby cubs or other things. Moms can definitely have passion. So the key is, how do you react when some of those things happen? When you get that news that on the playground that your son or daughter's been picked on? Next slide, please, Olivia. I'm going to go fast on these bullet points too. So if you snooze, you lose on these. So mom's passion is number one. Matthew 11:12. On the screen, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subject to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. So if you think of that, even God's word tells us that the kingdom of heaven has been subject to violence. We're not, definitely not immune from it here on earth and as people walk in this earth. Proverbs 31:26, she speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. So anger and passion is a big, big difference. You know, the angry, ferocious bear, when, you know, how we react. I know myself, I am not always good. I don't do well in how I react. My wife could probably, you'd probably come up and share that now, wouldn't you? But I'm going to hear about that too. Honey. I love you, honey. I love you, honey. But I do not always react well when I'm passionate and when I'm mad or when I'm angry. I don't always react well. So if you think of it, you know, it might be good to pause to think. I know just as I prepared this message, what God has shared in my heart is just to don't just roar. Don't just roar like the lion. Just stop and think. My mom used to say a lot of times, count to 10. Don, just count to 10, because I had a terrible, terrible temper when I grew up. By the grace of God, it's almost in check now overall, but I had a terrible temper as a young man. As a kid. So my mom would say, you just need to count to 10, Donnie. You just need to count to 10, Donnie. Just count to 10. So I've tried that throughout life, and I'm so impatient. I get to 3, and I just pack it in. I mean, and then I just unload on somebody, you know, when I was growing up or in school. So as I was preparing this message, and you might want to write this down or lock it in, is pray to 10. Instead of counting to 10, God revealed to me in these weeks preparing this, pray to 10. So I thought, if I'm going to practice what I preach, so to speak, I pray to 10. So I had some issues that came across my plate the last couple of weeks, and it works because obviously God is in the picture now. And now I just have to have the discipline to actually stop and pray to 10, and it works. It works. When I have had the discipline to stop and pray to 10, it works. Next slide, mom's love. We could spend all 20 minutes on mom's love. If we look at the next slide, please, Lydia. If we look in God's word, and we've read this scripture before here at Submerge, even you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven.
He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing that's more different than the others? Do not even pagans do that. Be perfect. Listen to that. God's word says, be perfect. Therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. I don't know about you, but I am not perfect. Far, far from it. Striving for perfection, you know, it's not easy. You know, if you think about it, being perfect, mom's not perfect, dad's not perfect, Pastor Paul's not perfect, Tyler's not perfect, Becky, what's almost perfect, Haley, my wife, Monica, my kids, none of us are perfect. I am far from perfect. But the thing is, if we strive for that perfection, Romans 3:23, God's word tells us, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we already know that we're sinners. There's no possible way to be perfect. But what that verse means is be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. God wants us to strive for that perfection, even though we will never attain it. But be perfect is what our goal should be. You know, there's not perfect moms, not perfect dads. If you think about this, having a baby does not make you a mom. Just a news alert. Having a baby does not make you a dad. Another newsflash. So I thought about this deeply when I was preparing this message that, you know, a father, a husband, wife, they have a baby. But now is where the game begins. Like Haley shared with some of her thoughts of what she learned and what God revealed to her in becoming a mother, becoming a father. That's where the rubber hits the road. Passion to be perfect. Really resonating on that verse. I just don't always have that passion. I want it, but I certainly don't always have it. When you get angry, when I've gotten angry before, like the cub, the mama bear on the screen, a lot of people when they get angry, and I know in the past I'm trying to stop this process, but when you get angry and that phone is dangerous, I mean, you know, oh, okay, I'm not too happy about this deal. You start texting away a message, or you hop on the email and hit the caps lock and just like all capital letters, and you start, you know, or Facebook postings. I mean, some of the social medias can be just really dangerous for us, for anybody, but us as believers and being a witness, we need to be cautious of how we react to that anger. How about if you're wrong? Excuse me. If you're wrong, are you quick to say you're wrong? Are you quick to say you're sorry to the person that you've offended or had done a bad deed to? I'm not always that fast at saying that I'm sorry, because that's two of the toughest words. Well, I am, if you want three, I am sorry. A couple of tough words for all of us, I think. But maybe even to go a step further, this is something that again, God is working on me as I go. I'm a work in progress. As you go along, what about someone that has sinned against you? I mean, blatantly sinned against you. Caused you all kinds of heartache. Might have happened a day ago, a week ago, a year ago. And they never come to you and say you're sorry, let alone talk to you. I don't know if you've ever had anybody like that in your life, but it can happen. So something you might want to consider that I have tried this approach. It is tough to do, but just to ask, get a hold of that person, write them a letter if you have to, call them, meet them in person, and just ask them, say, you know, we had this challenge here a year ago or whatever it is, and again, they wronged you now, mind you. They were bad to you. Just say, hey, Jane, John, I've had some bad feelings towards you. I've had some mean thoughts and things since we had this issue here a year ago, and I've asked God to forgive me for those thoughts towards you, and I'm coming to you today and just ask you if you would forgive me for some of those thoughts that I've had since we had that argument or whatever the challenge was. Not easy to do because there are people that wrong you and they go about their way, but it's very rewarding. Maybe you've had that situation, maybe you got a mom or a dad or a brother or sister or an aunt or an uncle or a friend or a coworker right now that perhaps you have concerns with or issues with, I would ask you to consider trying that approach, because if your mom has wronged you or your dad wronged you years ago and things aren't exactly great in your relationship, it's your job to fix it. It's your job as a believer in Christ is to go fix that. If they won't do it, then it's your job is to go love your enemies. Next slide, please. Mom's teachings. Mom's teachings. Oh, my. Many of those teachings, I had fun with some of those sayings that mom has shared with me over the years, but so many terrific teachings. Irma Bombeck has a quote. Irma Bombeck's quote goes like this. When your mom asks, do you want a piece of advice? It is a mere formality. It doesn't matter if you say yes or no, you're going to get it anyway. Or Jeff Shaw, his growing up, quote from his growing up. When I was a boy, my mother wore a mood ring. When she was in a good mood, it turned blue. In a bad mood, it left a big red mark on my forehead. So there's different degrees of teachings, naturally. My mom, she didn't have a mood ring, but I just knew when I had tipped the scale and just really was not a good boy, and I just knew when I was in trouble, and deservingly, she was a good teacher, as you shared, Haley, about teaching your sons about the reasons why, and sharing scripture when things happen as you mold them and teach them. Next slide, please, Lydia. Proverbs 22:6. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Again, Proverbs is such a powerful, powerful book in the Bible. There's, as Haley alluded to, many resources out there. Try the Bible on for size. That's what I tell the world, that there's so many great words of wisdom naturally from our Heavenly Father. Next slide, please. Proverbs chapter 31. Again, we find she gets up while it is still night. This is, listen to the work and the commitment that this mom has, in a lady mom that God has shared with us in chapter 31. She gets up while it's still night. She provides food for the family and portions for her female servants. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for the task. She sees that trading is profitable and that and the lamp doesn't go out at night. Works late, labors into the night. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Just such as Paul said after he read the reading this morning, just such powerful words that we hear from God in the book of Proverbs. On teaching your children, I got this from Paul last week. It was really neat. I wanted to insert this into the message today. This is from Andy Stanley, and the quote says, your greatest contribution to the kingdom of God may not be something you do, but someone you raise. A great quote. We need to teach our kids, obviously, and children as moms and dads, and even uncles, aunts, and so many other ways you can be instrumental into teaching young children or neighborhood kids that might need some mentoring. There's so many ways that we can do that. If you see, I met with a lady several weeks ago now, and we were talking about God, Jesus, you know, salvation. It's amazing that there's so many folks that you bump into that we're in the United States of America, where all the resources are probably one of the greatest opportunities in the world for resources if we want to grab them. And Jesus, God, Bible, just like not much knowledge, not much of anything, just kind of blows you away. It was just like, so she said, yeah, I just, man, there's just so many Bibles. I don't have time to read them all, and I don't want to go take the time to do it. I've read a little bit of the Bible, but I just don't know when to pick. I don't know which one's the truth. I said, seriously, wow. Go to the next slide, please, Lydia. So I just had my phone, and I just went to Bible Gateway, and I pulled up on my phone, and I said, okay, I just want to make sure that I'm tracking with what you're sharing here. So all these versions, you know, you get the King James, the New International, the NIV, and I was kind of saying, now these are, you're saying all these Bibles, right? Is that kind of your deal? Like there's so many Bibles that you don't know which one to pick from? And she goes, yeah, it's, you know, I've done, kind of looked, and there's, who has time to read all those Bibles anyway? I said, well, that's just it's a translation, it's a version. You know, that's a version of the Bible. It's all God's Word. They're all the King James Version, the NIV, that's God's Word. That's the Bible. So we spent a little time talking about that. And she goes like, well, what do you mean? What do you mean? I said, well, let's take it in the simplest form. This is not a verse in the Bible. But let's say there was a verse in the Bible that says, John is running fast. Okay, that could be a King James Version. The NIV Version might say, John is moving with great haste. So you see that it's the same, it's God's Word. It's still the same message, just worded a little bit different. She goes, oh, wow. Well, that's pretty easy then. Which one do you recommend? I said, well, I like the NIV Bible. It's pretty easy to understand for me. I said, I'd suggest just reading the NIV, just starting with that Bible. Or she goes, oh, okay, wow. That's good news. I thought there was like 100 of them I had to read. So it's just really interesting that the perception that folks have when they just don't have that backdrop or grew up in a godly home. So the greatest commitment of all would be to teach and to share God's truth to your friends, to your family members, to people that you work with. Next slide, please. Mom's commitment. So that is a loaded statement there. Mom's commitment. You think about that. Guys don't have a clue. All through the pregnancy that moms go through and all the commitment and all the watching diet more and getting proper sleep and just, I can't begin to imagine all things, even though I witnessed it with my wife. And then not only the commitment of that, now you got this knucklehead husband that has no clue. No clue. I mean, first baby, it's especially with Savannah, I just had no clue. I mean, she's going through, tired that day, made supper, feet are sore, wants to just maybe talk a little bit. And I'll say, okay, I've got to go out, sweep the garage. I got to kind of clean up the garage a little bit. And I just kind of go leave her. And she's like, you know, like needed to talk a little bit or wanted to talk a little bit, but I was like clueless. So that's one thing that, another thing that mom's commitment is just to deal with the lack of brains on her husband. I'll speak about myself here now too. You got brains. You guys are good. The rest of you are good. Sleep deprivation. Man, when the baby comes, what about a commitment? Oh my goodness, right, Becky? Again, just sleep up with that little guy and just the feedings and all those things. How about going without? How about the commitment to go without as a mom or a dad? Think about that commitment to go without, meaning, I mean, I've heard families, kids talk about it like, oh yeah, oh my mom, she wears those same two dresses. That's all, she just keeps wearing. She should go buy some new clothes. Or my dad, all he has is two pairs of shoes. He just wears his tennis shoes or his work boots, you know, and we got the same car we've had for 15 years. Well, hey, punk, maybe that's going on because your mom and dad are buying you hockey skates, or they're putting you through ballet lessons, or they're committing to all these different things to serve their children. So that's something to consider, too, that how much a mom goes without. The ultimate commitment, of course, for all of us really should be to share Jesus, to talk to people and plant seeds. You think about the commitment mom does. She does laundry, all these errands, dropping kids, picking them up. Just she does these things. And again, this is just an observation from a guy's perspective. Mom does all these things when she doesn't feel like it. It just happens. So it's just like a reflex action. I've just seen it in my wife, Monica, raising our three kids over the years. Just reflex. Just doing it. She's tired. She can't even hardly keep her eyes open, but she's serving those kids. She's serving our families. Just a commitment. As believers, though, sometimes I think we get, myself included, all these things here. I find when I put a message together, I'm messages for myself so much. That's what it's just so amazing how God speaks to me through this preparation time. I think as believers, we get lazy. I know I've done it. I mean, you're driving, it's 10 below zero, you're going home, busy street, someone's off to the side, stuck on the shoulder in the snow, and you're thinking, was cool up there. There was a lot of traffic behind me too. I think I better just keep on. I better keep on going. And you don't stop and help that person out. I think believers, sometimes we get lazy. If Joe or Brenda are talking to you, maybe coworkers or it might be friends that you work with or someone at school, and they're talking and talking, they're sharing somebody's problems, there's probably plenty of opportunity to talk about the gospel and to share the gospel with them or talk about Jesus' love. But I think sometimes we think, well, man, my show starts in 20 minutes. I don't know if I have time right now for to listen to all these people's problems. I think as believers, we get lazy with our sons, our daughters, our friends, coworkers. Again, they might be hurting in many ways. And you can just discern that they kind of want to talk and they're hurting a little bit. But we think in our life, oh, my punch list is 30 tasks long. I got all these things on my punch list. And everybody's got problems. I got my own things to do, my own punch list. The great football coach, Lou Holtz, he used to coach football for Notre Dame. And he said, one time he said, problems. Everybody's got problems. 90% of the people have problems and they sit and complain. And the other 10% are glad you got them. So we got problems, but bring those problems to the Lord is my best advice to you. In closing, I would say to you, you know, as we think of serving others, planting those seeds, sharing the gospel, I know what resonated to me is just to do these things for our Heavenly Father, do this work on this earth that we're called to do as believers, even when we're tired, even when we don't feel like it, to make that commitment to do what God has called us to do. Next slide, please. Proverbs, again, these last couple verses, Paul read them again, but I'll just end off the last two verses. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Charm is deceptive and heavy, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring praise at the city gate. Paul, and worship team, if you could come forward as we close here. The big idea slide. Paul was talking about the concept of the big idea slide, and I just, myself, all of us included, oh, may we strive to imitate a mom's passion and the virtues of a godly mother. Praise God again for all the moms here this morning, and praise God for His word in Proverbs 31. Amen.